So we have been talking about momentum for life and what it takes to gain momentum and have traction as we move into the different areas of life. And this series began with devotion, because as people who follow Jesus, that's one of those areas where we begin to start. We start with our devotion to God. And so the D in drive stands for devotion. And then R is readiness for lifelong learning. Everybody who has ever worked a job, young people, by the way, one day when you work a job, there's always continuing education. You're always learning new things. And so as people who follow Jesus, we're always learning new things. We're always reading. We're always moving on and learning some new things. And then the I in the drive, last week we talked about investing in key relationships. And I talked specifically about three key types of relationships. Number one was people in our hearts. And that those are our family, those people that we're related to. A lot of times it can also be some friendships. It just depends. We talked about people in our scope. And those are people that we influence, people we're trying to lead toward a relationship with God, or people we're trying to invest in. And then the third category was what I would call people in your circle. And for many of us, we've got people in our circle, and those are the folks that are most trusted. Those are the people who are concerned about our future, and they're moving us along. And so we talked about investing in key relationships. And so today what we're going to talk about is visioning for the future. And since we live in a world that is constantly changing, we are always visioning for the future and looking down the road and thinking about what it is that God wants to do in our lives. And at the very beginning of this sermon series, when we talked about Psalm 121, I talked about that being a psalm of ascent, meaning that the worshipers in Jerusalem, what they did is they traveled up the mountain, up the hill to Jerusalem. And they kept their eyes on Jerusalem, kept their eyes on who they were after and who they were following. Because along the way, they were tempted to give up because there were shrines to other gods along the way. So when I lift my eyes up to the mountains or up to the hills, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. My help comes from God. And as people who follow Jesus, as people who are on this journey, we are always moving forward. Whether you're 5 or you're 85 or you're 95, no matter where you're at in life, we are always moving upward and moving forward. And since change always happens, now here's what happens with change, right? As the world changes, we begin to complain, right? Well, the problem is this: complainers never change anything. They just complain. And pretty soon they become noisy and naggy. But as people who follow Jesus, we know that the world is constantly changing. And so we move along and embrace change as it comes and allow God to give us a new vision. Because if my life is going to be honorable, I can't afford to simply be content and be comfortable staying where I'm at, because the essence of faith is vision. Several years ago, I was taking a class, and in this class, they encouraged us to think about who we were and what it was that we were called to do, and then put that together. And as I was in that class, I began to kind of put together a mission statement for my life, and I used two of the books on that table to do that. Number one was Time Management for the Christian Leader by Ken Willard. And then the second one was Storyline by Donald Miller. And as I worked through those two books, they helped me formulate a vision, a mission statement, and then a vision plan for my life. So before we jump in, I just want to share with you mine. Yours is yours, but I'm going to share with you mine and what and why that matters. But my life mission statement is this: investing in people so that they might live fully into who God has made them to be, to help others live fully engaged in their call and in their purpose. Helping people find purpose, that is. And I find that rooted in John 10:10. I came that they might have life and have it to the full. Now, as I thought about that mission statement, I was encouraged to think about all the roles that I play in life. And so I came up with five different roles that I play to kind of pattern my life around. So my first role is this, as a husband. And so as a husband, here's what I want. I want my wife to feel loved, encouraged, supported, and empowered to live fully into who God has created her to be. As her husband, I want her to see herself as a full partner in ministry and life because I didn't want a woman who was just going to simply follow me. I wanted a spouse who was going to walk beside me. And so I looked for a strong, independent woman, right? Because I didn't want someone just doing what I said. But that's one of my goals. I want to be that kind of husband that encourages my wife in those ways. Do I always get it right? No, you should ask her. Number two, as a father, I want my children to feel loved, encouraged, supported, and empowered. I hope to point them to a life full of vision, purpose, and connection to God. I will hope to push them to live on purpose. I want them to discover who it is God has made them to be and to go after that vision. So that's who I want to be as a father. That is the mission statement and the description. And then the third role that I fill is communicator. Just in case you didn't know, I speak a lot of Sundays. So I want to be, I want to be an effective communicator of purpose and connection to God. I want to help awaken people and create space for God to speak to them. That's one of the goals of my life in that role. Number four, as a coach and a mentor, I want to effectively coach and lead people to fully grow into all that they are gifted to be. I want to help them see who God has made them to be and help them get there. And then finally, my fifth role, as a pastor, my desire is to point people to Jesus, to help them see his love for them and his love for others. I hope those on the inside, church people, see those on the outside, non-church people, as valuable. I want people to live the full life Jesus talked about, and I don't believe they can live that out apart from a group of people. And so those are my five defining roles that I play. And so what I do is I once a year begin to look through those things and reassess and go, okay, Joe, here are your five roles. What is the vision you have for living those things out? Because we all need a vision. The essence of faith is a vision. And the writer of Hebrews says, now faith is the confidence in what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. Because as we're moving forward after what God has called us to, we can't always see the future. We can't always see what is down the road. But in faith, we move forward. And so the writer of Hebrews talks about all these people that along the way lived this faithful life that we should strive after. And the writer reminds people that these folks from Israel's past did not always know what the future was like. And so they set the example for us. Now, one of the examples in the Old Testament is Abraham. And Abraham was called to leave his homeland and to leave his home, his place of birth and his family and his friends and all those things. And you can read that on your own. Now, for you and I, we don't think that's that big of a deal because for some of us, we moved for a job or we moved to be closer to family or we moved to do some different things. And so it's not that big a deal for you and I in our day and age to move. But in Abraham's day, people did not move. You stayed in your geographical region and you did not change. Your family was there, your connections were there, the familiar people were there. So when God asks Abraham to move and to go to a new place, God is asking Abraham to do something Abraham has never done before. And he's asking Abraham to do something other people have never done before and leave that comfortable place and go to a new place. Now, just in case you do not know, church folks, whenever God calls us to things, it's not always comfortable. It's not always easy, but the goal is God wants to do something bigger in our lives. And then the writer reminds us that he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God, because he was looking for a bigger purpose. And faith is looking forward, living with a forward focus. Abraham's goal was to look for a better world and create a better world for those around him. And it's the same for you and for me, that we partner with God to create a better world for other people to live in, and that starts with vision. And as long as there is one person who lacks peace and lacks salvation, you and I are called to move forward and do some new things that God would call us to. And as long as there is someone who is not connected to God, as long as there is someone not connected to the peace of God and the salvation of God, then it's my job to prepare another sermon. It's our job to say, okay, well, how do we reach other people? How do we create more opportunities? How do we build more relationships? How do we start another service? How do we do those things to reach people who are disconnected? Life isn't meant to get easier with increased age. That's not how it goes. We continue on this lifelong journey of ascent. And vision really is this. It's the natural result of living in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. The writer of Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 tells us, he says this, this is the Joe paraphrase. He says, can anybody understand the mind of God? And then he goes on and he says, we have the mind of Christ. In order for you and I to allow the mind of Christ to transform our minds, then we want to walk in unison with the Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to live in fullness within us. Now, what I want to do is this. I want to give, as we talk about this, I want to give kind of four things to formulate a life vision. And I think you need to write these down, by the way. Young people, I think you need to write these things down. But number one is this, is formulate a picture of life. Because everything physical begins with a mental picture. And we have to be willing to receive it from the mind of God and submission to the authority of Jesus. That's what we have to plan around, and that's how we get a vision from God. But we've got to formulate a picture of life. And I'm going to give you an example of this. Several years ago, I had a church member come up to me and say, Joe, I have a vision, and you may think it's crazy, but how do we take the church to the neighborhood? How do we take the church to the people? And she said, I envision a house in the neighborhood. And so I said, well, that sounds like a great idea. Sounds like a great vision. And so what we started doing was we started meeting with real estate agents and looking for houses for sale. We did not have any money to buy a house, by the way. We just started looking. And I said, well, you know what? If you find the money, I guess nobody can say no. And so let's start looking for the money. And so there was one Sunday we had found this house, and it was close to the park. And the park was one of those places where all the kids gathered. And we thought, okay, this will be close to the park. This would be a great location. So one Sunday what we did is we decided to go have a prayer walk around this property. And so there were probably 15, 20 of us. And we started walking around this house and this lot right next to it, which was kind of vacant and a great place to play wiffle ball and kickball. And we just started walking around, circling that in prayer. And pretty soon, the neighbors came out and said, what are you guys doing? And I said, well, this may sound crazy, but we're praying. So are you guys going to buy that house? And I said, well, we're hoping to. And after we prayed, a week later, someone came up and said, if the church wants that house, I'll buy it. One person, one family said, I will buy the house if the church wants to do ministry out of that house. And so we bought a house called Jeremiah House. And we based it on Jeremiah 29:11 that Tina shared this morning. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for a hope and a future. And the thing we wanted was, we wanted all those kids in that community who came over there to understand that they had a hope and they had a future. But it all began when someone put together a mental picture of what it could be. And through the discipline of devotion and readiness and active listening, this person understood that God wanted to do something. And that's how vision begins to happen. Visioning is the disciplined practice of formulating God's specific purpose for your life. And that's why we've got to be careful the things that we allow in our mind. Because negative talk can kind of creep in. And we'll begin to doubt what God can do. And we have to ask ourselves, do we have a microscopic view or do we have a telescopic view? You know, a microscopic view is very small. A telescopic view is very large. And so what kind of view do you have? What kind of view do we have as we seek the vision that God has? Those who receive a vision from God see that with God all things are possible. And daily devotion renews the vision and a sense of vision that God has for us. And God wants to show us a preferred future. Number two, envision a destination. Where is it that you want to go? And we listen for vision. We begin to ask God for a vision. We envision a destination. Where is it that we want to go? Just like Tina talked, young folks, what is the destination that you want to get to? Because you will get there. You will go to the destination that you have in your mind. So where is it that you want to head? And so we've got to envision a destination. That's why we've got to take time every day to visualize what God's promised future is. We receive it, we conceive it, and then we work to achieve God's promised future. And vision pulls us upward to bolder life actions. You know, when Joshua came to the promised land, he was there based on what Moses had already led them to, and a promise that Moses was given. But when Moses couldn't enter the promised land, all Joshua had to do was simply walk into that vision and step foot into those promised areas. Number three, vision is nurtured in community. You know, the Psalms of Ascent were sung together. As a group of people, as a body of people, as the pilgrims traveled up to Jerusalem, they did that together. They didn't travel by themselves. Vision happens in community, and you and I are made for community. We're made for relationships. And what if begins as a dream when we begin to ask what if together. You know, whatever we did, there's several in the room who did the Circle Maker Bible study when we did that on Sunday nights. And as we were in that Bible study, we talked about the hopes and the dreams and the prayers that we were asking God for. And one of the nights, I decided to ask everybody to do something bold. And believe it or not, I periodically go and lay hands on things and I pray for them. So this may sound weird to you, but that's okay. So this property next door to us, I have thought, man, wouldn't it be great if that could be a paved parking lot, but better yet, it had basketball goals on it. So kids could actually come out here and play in the neighborhood, and we could actually build relationships with kids in the community right here. And so I took the group and I said, hey, we're going to go over here and we're going to lay hands on this house, and I'm just going to ask that God would give it to us. That's what I'm asking for. I'm not asking for a lower price. I'm asking that God give us the house, as we're going to do. And so Donna then said, well, Joe, here's what I've been praying. I think I would just like the whole block. Because wouldn't it be great, we're evicting people, by the way. But she said, wouldn't it be great if we had a gym all the way down through here? Can someone tell me what church has a gym in this town? I don't think there is a church that has a gym. Am I right? But she was like, wouldn't it be great if we had a gym there? And we could have kids come play inside. We could do all kinds of things. I was like, Donna, I like your vision better than mine, right? And then Melissa said, well, you know, there's this vacant lot, and maybe we should. And all of a sudden, all these dreams came together, and little did we know that that's what we were all praying about, and that's what we were all thinking about. But vision comes together in community as we begin to ask questions, say, okay, well, what if? What if we could do this? What if we could do that? You know, there were four friends that carried a friend to Jesus who needed to be healed. And as they get to this place where Jesus is, as they get to this house, all of a sudden they have to dig a hole in the roof. And each friend has to lower, I'm assuming, each friend has to lower the corners of this friend into the house so Jesus can heal him. Whose faith did it take to get the friend to Jesus? It took the friend's faith. It didn't take the guy on the stretcher's faith. It was the four friends' faith. And Jesus saw the four friends' faith. And so, quick question. Who are your traveling companions? Who are those people that you are in community with, that you're dreaming with and saying, what if? What could God do? Because God entrusts vision to those who will put it into action. And faithfulness is implementing action. Faithfulness is putting things into an action plan. And leadership implements risky strategic actions necessary to reach God's preferred place and God's preferred future. Final piece of this, number four. You need a strategic plan. Now, you put together a strategic plan. There are a number of different ways to put together a strategic plan, but here's what I've read, and I think this works pretty good. Imagine what you would do if you only had a year to live. If you only had a year to live, what dreams would you accomplish that God has called you to? What kind of plan would you put together if you sat down and said, you know what, this is it. This is my final year on planet Earth. And so how am I going to live into God's purposes since this is my final year? So I think you begin there and you say, okay, I've got 1 year left of life. What do I need to do? What is the monthly plan that I need to bring about? What is the weekly plan? What are the things that I need to do? And then as you plan, and I think you need to write these down, as you work your plan, consider this. Number one, what is your spiritual health? Are you getting that devotion time with God so that you can hear God's voice in day-to-day life? Number two, what is your relational health? Do you have good, healthy relationships with people around you? Do you have good, healthy relationships with people who are pushing you along in faith? Or do you have toxic relationships that may be causing problems? Number three, what's your work health like? Believe it or not, most of us have a job. And if we're constantly complaining about our job, guess what? Our work health is not going to be good. And again, complainers never change things, right? But what is your work health? Do you see your job as really to fund God's dream? That's really all it is. You make an income to fund what God has called you to. That's what you do. So what's your work health like? And then finally, what's your missional health like? What is it that you're doing for the mission of God? And mission is a vision of a better world. What does that look like? Now, two things I pray every day, and I pray 20 and 52. And what I do, believe it or not, this may sound crazy to you, but I pray circles around the church is what I do. And I walk around I'm not out in the cold doing this, by the way. But I'm walking around in here, and I name every congregation member that I've got. I name every name, so you're prayed for every day. And then I've got a list of people that I have met in the community, and then I pray for each one of them by name as I circle the sanctuary. I do that every day. And then the other thing I pray for two numbers. I pray for 20 and I pray for 52. I pray for 20 workers. I pray for 20 workers for nursery, for youth, and for children. That's what I pray for every day. And then I pray for 52. And here's where 52, I've been praying for 52 for probably 2 to 3 years. And I think it is ridiculous that churches cannot baptize one person a week. Amen? I mean, isn't that crazy? That we are the church of Jesus Christ, and we cannot baptize one person a week? And so I have been asking God for 2 to 3 years for 52 people to be baptized. That's what I'd love to witness. I would love to do 52 baptisms a year. I think that'd be great. We could do one a Sunday. I think it'd be amazing. But those are the things that I pray for. And then finally this. Let's go home on this. Is what I do is as I formulate what God's mission is one, I focus on teaching. And believe it or not, sermons don't just miraculously show up. You got to do some work. But I have to ask myself, okay, God, what do you want to speak to people? Number two is that I try to lead groups of people. So what's another group of people that I can lead? And as I lead that group of people, my third component is that I'm looking for leaders to fulfill God's mission. Those are three things that I begin to practice. And friends, if we're going to live the life that God has called us to, life is too short for anything less than a fulfilling, fruitful, and faithful vision. And so as we go into this week, what is the vision that God is calling you to? Work your vision. Figure those things out. Take the time every day to dream God's dream for you and dream God's dream for what He wants to do in the lives of people. Let's pray. God, we are grateful for what you give us. We are grateful for the ways you lead us. God, help us live great things and pursue a great vision that you've called us to. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.